This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to episode 113 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
My name is John. Didn't he sound kind of disappointed at the end there? He's like all ramped up and then he's like, my name is Mike.
Yeah, I got a sunburn today. Or between the combination of yesterday and today.
Yeah.
It's really bringing me down.
Yeah, it kind of sucks the energy out of you. They say that the sun and the vitamin D, like, it vitalizes you and it makes you like, oh yeah. But too much.
I must
much
have overdosed on it then.
Too much. Just brings you right down. This is your brain on drugs. This is your brain on sun.
Feels similar.
I don't know much about this cable guy, but I guarantee you he hasn't killed as many people as melanoma.
You should have taken a page from Peter's book.
Coming up this episode, folks, that will make sense because we're going to talk Deadpool 2.
Yeah.
All right. So,
a needle pulling thread. You watched... So Roseanne got canceled because she can't, you know, not be racist on Twitter.
I mean, that was pretty racist.
Yeah, it was pretty bad.
That was like there's racist, you know, when you're like, you know, the white man is superior. That's racist.
And
it's racist to say the Muslim Brotherhood plus Planet of the Apes had a baby and this is her.
Yeah.
That's... Wow.
And I like how she tried to blame it on Ambien.
and Ambien
came just like, Ambien, I love Ambien. So, Ambien can do a lot of things to you, but it doesn't make you racist.
Racism is not one of our side effects, people.
I thought that was pretty phenomenal. But it really sucks, because I really enjoyed Roseanne.
Yep.
I really enjoyed this revitalized season. I really enjoyed that fact that it got renewed, and it felt like an old hat type show.
Yep.
So I was really glad to see it back and get renewed and everything, and now it just kind of sucks. And what even sucks more is for, like, everyone else on the show.
Yeah.
Look at Michael Fishman.
I was thinking about
that. Has he done anything else, basically?
Right.
Right, a couple B-movies?
Yeah, Johnny Galecki. What the hell's he done?
Yeah, well, pretty good stuff. But yeah. Sarah Gilbert, she's stuck on some dumb talk show in the morning. Lacey Gornson, pretty much nothing. I mean, she was in Boys Don't Cry, but she gets shot in the face.
I never watched Boys Don't Cry.
You didn't watch that one?
No.
The one about the David, Tina, David, whatever it was.
I think I kind of went through an anti-Hillary Swank phase for some reason. Because I didn't want to watch the new Karate Kid, the next Karate Kid.
Fuck,
and I did.
That. I didn't
it was
watch
terrible.
That at all.
So I didn't watch Million Dollar Baby, and I didn't watch
was,
Boys
was,
Don't Cry.
That was pretty good. Well, Clint Eastwood, that's why you got to watch that one.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Anyways. She takes a bad fall in the ring and breaks her neck on the stool.
Yeah.
And then she tries to kill someone by biting her tongue off.
she died by stool.
Yeah.
Crippled by stool.
And then in the end, Clint Eastwood kills her. Helps her die peacefully.
That's nice.
But she was paralyzed from the neck down.
Yeah.
So you don't have to watch it now.
No.
Oh, and she was good at boxing for a short time. You know, until the whole paralysis.
Right, yeah. It kind of takes it out
really,
of you.
Can't really throw fists and... For those who can't see, John is trying to toss his arms in the air with just his shoulders, but he forgets she was paralyzed from the neck down, so even the shoulders wouldn't go.
Yeah.
No. So we chin people to death.
That's right.
Although, I did see an MMA fight once where a guy was doing chin strikes on his opponent's eye. He was really taking his chin and just jabbing him right in the eye. It was pretty cool.
Wow.
I've never seen a chin strike before.
Oh, I do have something else to talk about.
Okay.
No, go ahead.
Oh.
We were talking beforehand about how
I
talk about.
So, yeah. I didn't watch Supergirl.
I did.
Cool.
It's starting to turn into an ABC after-school special kind of show. Like, every episode seems to have a, like, the more you know kind of thing, or basically a morality lesson. And a lot of them seem to focus on John's father losing his mind. or Kara's cape tricks. She's really excited about having those cape tricks so, you know, she can fight Rain. But I don't know. It just, some of it's getting a little too saccharine. I'm excited for this episode that was on this week, though, because apparently they visit Kara's home. Because her city, kind of like Kandor, was one of the cities that was not on Krypton when it was blowed up.
Oh, okay.
So there's a bunch of Kryptonians that they go visit. So I'm interested to see how that works out.
Hmm.
I don't know if it's going to be in the Phantom Zone or what. But
interesting.
Yeah.
You say interesting, but I don't know if I mean it.
I do. Cool. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going towards the end. This last week's episode was all about that cult of Rao. You remember how that guy, like, started a cult based on the pod that came down to Earth? And
yes.
So he, like, started a cult of Rao, and all these people followed him, and then he went to jail, and he's talked to them a little bit about Rain, because he miraculously knows all about Rain. Well, apparently some of the disciples, including the girl that she rescued from this cult, you know, the one who, like, was trapped, and she rescued her, and she was like, oh, thank God you got me out of there. Well, apparently, much like a drug addict, she went back and said, I don't know who I am without this cult. So she went back there and started leading it, and they discovered the recipe to create another world ender. So they were going to create their own version of Rain in this girl. That was a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, I just choked a little.
Yeah. I didn't really like that aspect of it. Oh, and as we had predicted before, Lena now will never trust Supergirl again. But she tells Kara that, because, you know, Kara's still her best friend.
You mean Supergirl?
Yeah. So she tells Kara, I could never trust Supergirl again. Irony. She betrayed me, and she went off the deep end, and blah, blah, blah. So, that's kind of interesting.
What about Arrow?
Arrow finished its season with a whimper.
Are the teams still fighting each other?
No, no. And they made sure to let each one of them have their little moments with each other where, you know, like, they make up to each other, or they talk about how, you know, oh, well, I felt wronged, but now I feel righted, you know, and Oliver tries to give Diggle back the mantle because he says multiple people could be the Green Arrow, and Diggle's like, I always wanted it, but, you know, I'm glad you offered it, and the long and the short of it, Mike's pretending to fall asleep.
Yeah, it doesn't do so good. I was about to make snoring noises.
Yeah. But The long and short of it is Captain Lance, one of the best characters on the show, was killed.
Oh, fuck that. Really?
Yeah, they let him. The same thing that they did with Laurel. You know, he was, like, fine in the hospital bed, and then off screen he seized during surgery and died. Sarah came back, you know, to see her father because he was in the hospital, and she has a time ship so she can come back. And,
right.
She met the other Laurel, you know, the Black Siren, and she was like, are you anything like my Laurel? And she's like, no. She basically told her, no, I'm not. And basically, Oliver worked with the FBI because they said that Diaz was a much worse threat to the city than the Green Arrow and the Vigilantes. So he worked with them, and everybody got immunity. Oh, but wait, the twist at the end is that the only reason they all got immunity was because Oliver agreed to turn himself in. So now he ended the season sitting in a Supermax, and everybody else was crying because he went away for them.
Hold on, so is Green Arrow in prison, or is Oliver in prison?
He's Oliver in prison, but he is announced to the world, finally.
But he is Green Arrow.
He is the Green Arrow. And he even went so far as to say, Roy Harper is not the Green Arrow. Tommy Merlin is not the Green Arrow. There have been a number of people who have been put up here as the Green Arrow. They were all trying to protect me. I am the Green Arrow. I'm going to jail. So they threw him in Supermax.
Yeah, he'll be out first episode next season.
Yeah, just like Flashpoint.
Okay. Here's the deal. I know I've been shitting on Arrow.
Yeah, I have too.
However, at the end of the day, you can't... Steve Amell is really who helped build this universe of TV shows that we watch. Because through his campaign, especially to get Constantine to come back and add characters and now to add Batwoman and on and on and on. So you've got to give Steve Amell major props
for
building this universe that started with Arrow. That's why we call it the Arrowverse.
Yep.
Even though Flash is the superior show.
Dude, after this last season, Legends was the superior show.
Legends was the best show for me this season. But you have to give him. You have to give Stephen Amell.
Bebo.
That was phenomenal. But you have to give Stephen Amell major credit for working hard to do that. It's not his fault that the writing of the show has just been the shits.
Right.
So hopefully next season it'll come back.
Next season they have a new showrunner. Fresh showrunner, somebody who has not been involved before.
Oh, wow.
And she's coming in, and she wants to go in a different direction.
Good.
And it's interesting because they said that Colton Haynes is coming back as Earth One Roy Harper. I thought they were on Earth One.
Me too.
So that doesn't make much sense to me.
Maybe that was a typo.
Maybe.
I don't know. I thought they were on Earth One.
Yeah, I thought they were
too.
I'm
pretty sure they were.
Because Cisco got to name it, yeah.
Yeah.
And they named Kara's like Earth 15 or something
19,
like that.
I think.
Yeah. And then there was Earth X because, you know,
they're bad. They're Nazis.
Yeah. So he's coming back as Earth One Roy Harper, which I'm hoping was a typo. They mean like Earth Three Roy Harper or Earth Two or something.
Right.
I'm hoping that with a new showrunner, they can get back to something that resembles a good show and doesn't just completely revolve around everyone hating each other and brooding and.
Well, I suffered through the last half of Lost in Space.
Oh! Yeah. And?
Fuck you. For making me watch it. I go, oh, you gotta watch it. Oh, stick with it. No, that sucks still. All the way to the end.
Really?
Yes. Nothing about that show made me excited.
Interesting.
It was all so predictable. Okay, so, all right. Little Will, of course, after his dad walks him up to the top of the mountain and then makes him put a pile of like 27 rocks or 26 rocks for whatever for the people that died.
It's called a cairn.
So he can, you know, show ownership. I'm like, oh, so that's where Will's going to go back and make the robot walk off the cliff.
Disassemble Johnny Five.
And that's what happened.
Yep.
And then Dr. Smith gets him back together and gets him functioning.
Yep.
And then the robot's working for Dr. Smith. Right?
Because everybody can repair robots in this world.
Right, right. Until Will goes, but we're friends. And then the robot's like, you're right, we are.
It's the power of friendship.
Yeah.
Come on.
Iron Giant all over again, without the tears in the great story. Parker Posey's Dr. Smith is so deplorably horrible as a person and as a character.
Yes.
It doesn't make me go, oh, I want to see her get her comeuppance. It makes me go, I'm going to fast forward through her scenes because I don't want to watch it.
That's what I was trying to say earlier.
It's the wrong kind of, it's like a wrestler who's supposed to be a bad guy and he has heat, but it's not the heat where you want to see him get beat up and you boo him, but it's kind of cool. It's, oh, I don't even want to watch his shit.
Yep.
And that's what it is with her. Like, I don't.
Exactly.
It's just.
I didn't care about her backstory. No. I didn't care about what she was trying to accomplish. Every time she was on the screen, I was just like, can we just get on to the next fucking part?
Is it because it seems to... Okay, here's what it is to me. I work as a 911 dispatcher. I deal with a bunch of drug addicts on the phone all the time, overdosing and lying and on and on and on. And I just can't stand and have no patience in life at all for those user-type people who are... users to get their own way.
Parasites.
And that's what Dr. Smith is. She's like the worst type of drug addict who's out for herself and just using everything and everyone. And it makes me not want to watch it.
Until her redeeming moment at the end when she basically...
Yeah, and she did that to save herself.
Yes.
That's at the end of the day. It was still a self-fulfilling thing that she did.
Yep.
She did nothing. Unlike the Man in Black.
I will never like her.
Unlike the Man in Black or William, who did a good deed to help Lawrence and Lawrence's family and friends,
right.
And goes, oh, no, I'm just playing the game. That wasn't anything I did for them.
Right. But at least he's honest about it.
Right, she's not. And so I can't stand it. Now, okay, the one thing I did like, because the big thing I hated about the whole thing is, like, this isn't Lost in Space because there's too many people, is at the end, you know, when they, and I guess I do like... the story of the robot wasn't there to kill people. The robot was there to get back their technology that was stolen.
Yes.
So when that happens again and the robot protects Will, it's like, all right, cool. You know nothing's going to happen to any of the Robinsons.
Right.
It's just like when they put Mom and Dad in the car that fell into the tar, they're going to be fine.
We have four or five of the main characters here in this ship. I think we're going to be okay.
Exactly, yes. So anyways, you know, I do like the fact that they got blipped off to another galaxy.
Yes.
That was cool because now, oh, this is actually Lost in Space.
And that's the reason that I said stick with it. Not because it's great storytelling up until that point. Because this was the setup for what should be Lost.
This in was a way too long 10-episode setup for what for Lost in Space.
I will agree with you on that.
That's the other thing that kind of pissed me off. Will I watch the second season? It was renewed. Will I watch the second season when it comes out? Probably at least the first one.
Yep.
But it really, like, that was a struggle. That was worse than Luke Cage for me.
It was, yeah, it was not the greatest show in the world.
Yeah.
And like I said, that's the reason I told you to stick with it. Not because, oh, it gets better. Oh, it's so much cooler. No, it doesn't get a lot better.
Yeah, I should have just watched the last episode.
It's the payoff of setting it up to be, oh, this is legitimately Lost in Space. And like you said, we finally got some real things, like the fact that they were trying to get the technology back and stolen from them. Or, you know, what is that? Is that an egg? Is that that's infecting their ship? You know,
right.
Is it an egg and it's going to hatch another robot? Because their robot got blown away.
Right.
He gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, what's going to happen to them now? Because now they're someplace where they have no idea where they are.
They actually are lost in space.
Yep.
So, like I said, I'll probably watch at least the next episode.
I would not be sad if they said that something happened to Parker Posey, whether it's, you know,
she pulled a rank
salary, or she pulled a racist tweet thing,
yeah,
or, you know, just got run over by a cement mixer.
Something.
And they had to recast Dr. Smith. I don't care if it's a woman. That's fine.
Yeah.
I don't like her, and right, I did not like this character.
I'm trying to think of a single role I've ever seen Parker Posey in where I was like, oh, she was great.
We don't have that much time. You're going to be to work at 1 a.m.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, I know that it's 4.5 hours away.
Dazed and Confused? Nope.
No.
No, she was a bitch there. Josie and the Pussycats?
No. She's definitely...
What an underrated movie, though.
That was a solid flick. I was actually quite surprised.
I was, too. Yeah. And it made fun of itself a lot.
It did. You know, I mean,
the only Tara Reid show that I've actually liked, because she was a complete dope.
Worked for her.
Yeah,
you know what? She actually was really good on Scrubs watching it this time around.
The beginning part?
No,
or
the end after part. Okay. The after part.
When she was herself?
Yes. When she acted herself, yes.
When she was Tara Reid playing Tara Reid?
Pretty much, yeah. But, anywho. I watched a Netflix original series, Safe.
Oh, yeah.
With Michael C. Hall.
Yeah, it showed up
on his really bad British accent.
Yeah.
Which he forgets to do sometimes, which I always find funny. 8 episodes, about an hour an episode. I'll just read the synopsis here. Safe focuses on Englishman Tom Delaney, Michael C. Hall, a pediatric surgeon and widowed father of 2 teenage daughters. He is struggling to connect with his daughters as they still grieve the loss of their wife and mother from cancer 1 year prior. After a 16-year-old daughter, Jenny, goes missing, Tom ends up uncovering a web of secrets as he frantically searches for her. It's based on a book.
Does he build safes? Does he crack safes?
No, I don't. The safe, I guess, is how they want to feel. I don't know.
Desire for Safe might be a better title.
Anywho.
Okay.
It was pretty good. Player? It was pretty good.
Does he like to steal bases?
No, he's a surgeon. We went over that. It's pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's one of those, like, dramatic mystery type things. So there's lots of twists and turns and plot sweeps and this and that or whatever. And
now I'm hearing you doing it in Stewie's voice that gets higher and higher.
But no, it was solid.
Friends become enemies. Enemies become friends. How's that coming along? Yeah, you're doing great.
No, I said an hour. They're about 45 minutes.
You know what I didn't watch this week, but I bet you're going to say you watched?
What?
The season 2 of The Toys That Made Us.
I did.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it was awesome.
Oh, I bet it was. I completely spaced it. I haven't watched hardly anything this week, not because it got away from me.
So, season 2 of The Toys That Made Us.
Mm-hmm.
First episode, Star Trek. Second episode, Transformers.
Star Trek like the Mego toys?
Like every Star Trek.
Oh, okay.
Like completely. Second episode, Transformers.
I still can't believe Transformers weren't in the first season.
Third episode, Legos.
Yeah.
Fourth episode, Hello Kitty. Which, when I first thought, I was like, that's weak sauce. It was better than I thought it would be.
It's the one Twitter account that Deadpool follows.
Yes. And just for a reminder, first season was Star Wars, which is hilarious because this documentary series was built was the, you know, they got the idea of it or the base of it from the Star Wars documentary on their toys, which was an hour and a half in itself, which was phenomenal. But anyway, Star Wars, Barbie, He-Man, and G.I. Joe. I was surprised He-Man was in season one and Transformers was in season two.
Yeah.
But then again, this really isn't two seasons, because if you listen to the credits, it's an eight-part documentary series, and they broke it into two seasons. So, but anyways, of these four episodes, I think my favorite was Transformers.
I believe it.
Because they show you the creation of the toy, but they don't just start with, like, oh, they decided to make these toys. They go all the way back to, it started with this. And it became this, and became this, and it became this, and it became this, and it became this, and it became this, and became this, and now we have this. And it's really, really cool. And I'm just going to say this. I'm not going to give it away because I want you to watch it.
Oh, absolutely.
Enjoy it. But it all started with G.I. Joe.
Makes sense.
It's weird how how that connects together, but it did. It all started with G.I. Joe. Not the 3 3/4.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Sounds about right. Not the 3 3/4,
right.
But the original 12-inch Kung Fu Grip G.I. Joe. It started with G.I. Joe, which is hilarious.
Interesting.
The Star Trek one was neat. I mean, it started with, like, the original series, and then Mego, and then it goes through all the way through, like, Kenner, I think maybe Playmates, whatever, who had it, you know, throughout the years from the first movie, the second movie, and then the Deep Space Nine, the Next Generation, all the series. Lego, of course, we just how that started, which, that was fascinating.
Did they mention how deadly it is to feet?
Yes, many times. A lot of times they show, like, just... You know, parents now had to buy all these toys and watch their feet or something. It kept showing clips of, like, a foot stepping on a big pile of Legos. Yeah. And then the Hello Kitty one was way more interesting than I thought it would be.
I'm actually interested in that one, yeah.
That was a lot of, you know, Hello Kitty was started in Japan.
Yep.
And out of all these toy lines, it is the youngest. I mean, it's like 47 years old or something. But it's the youngest toy line of all these toy lines.
Wow.
The Lego one was actually really cool, too. But the Transformers one was my favorite this season. They're like an hour long, 51 minutes. They're all fun. These guys did a fantastic bang-up job of researching this and interviewing people. I mean, they even got, Nicole Hill, Paris Hilton, interviewed on the Hello Kitty one because she loves her some Hello Kitty.
Huh.
So they even talked to her. They talked to, you know, like on the, it's amazing who they talk to. Like, they went to Japan, they went to Denmark to interview all these people, and like, because Lego started in Denmark, and, you know, Transformers and Hello Kitty started in Japan, and so they go into Japan and interview all these people and these collectors. I mean, it was just, they just do such a phenomenal job. Hardest sell I can give of anything I watch this week is this. And if you haven't seen the first season, what the hell's wrong with you? Go watch that.
You know who really liked the first season that surprised me? Stacy at work.
Really?
Yeah, she was like, oh, I just watched the show. It was so good, blah, blah, blah. So you may want to chat with her, see if she watched the second season.
I will, because it's great. I mean, it was just fun.
Yeah.
Pure fun watching that.
I regret that I didn't watch it, but I'm going to.
You should. Let's see.
I watched the complete second season of Lemony Snicket's A Series of Unfortunate Events on Netflix.
How'd that treat you?
It treated me pretty well.
Now, was that renewed for a third? I think it was canceled, actually.
I don't know.
While you talk, I'm going to look
it up. It picked up right exactly where the first season left off, with the Baudelaires at the boarding school. But it's funny because the baby grew up a little bit in the time between the seasons, so they actually make a comment about that. They say, you know, boy, we've been sitting here for so long, it seems like Sunny's gone from being a crawler to a toddler. And she had.
It has been renewed for a third season, which will consist of 7 episodes to adapt the remaining 4 books.
That's interesting because the way that it's worked so far has been 2 episodes to tell a story. So you get 8 episodes in a season, which means 4 stories. So you get 1 episode, and then it turns into a second episode. There is a lot of tragedy in this show.
A series of unfortunate events is in the title.
Yeah.
You've got to have, if you don't have a series of unfortunate events or tragedy, then really it's not making any sense.
I still love Patrick Warburton as the narrator, Lemony Snicket.
Nice.
And him walking onto the screen and saying things, you know, like that. Like, you know, if you were hoping to see a happy story today, please turn away. If you thought that the Baudelaires were finally going to be free of all the misery in their lives, I'm sorry, you're going to be sadly disappointed. I mean, he's so good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This one also, so he's Lemony Snicket. This series introduced Jack Snicket, his brother, played by Nathan Fillion. And it also introduced Sarah Rue, who, very underrated actress. I absolutely love her right to death. And did you fart?
No, I thought I heard someone pulling in the driveway, but it's actually a helicopter flying overhead.
Oh, okay. Just the way you tilted your head and you were looking to the side, I'm like, are you aiming it for the window?
No, I was just listening.
But yeah, it introduced some new characters. It had some old characters. I enjoy it, although, as it says, and as you pointed out with the title, it's not a very happy TV series. It's not a joyous thing. These kids, not only do they go through bad stuff, but you really have to suspend disbelief with this one, and I'm sure you know that from the first season. Like, Count Olaf apparently is a master of disguise to adults. You know, he puts on a wig and a hat, and people are like, oh, no, this is somebody completely different. He said that his name is Jeremiah.
Zooey Deschanel without glasses and bangs. Have you seen that picture?
No, I have not.
Dude, yeah, it totally makes it plausible that people couldn't tell that Superman was Clark Kent with glasses. Like, I genuinely look it up, Google it.
Okay.
It's crazy.
I will look it up. But yeah, so you have to kind of suffer through that a little bit. They're joined this time by another set of orphans. They explain away the fact that these, they keep joking about the fact, well, not joking, but they're triplets, but one of them died in a fire. So they call them twins. And they're like, but we're triplets. And they're like, well, no, one of you's gone, so now you're twins. Well, no, we were triplets when we were born. We will always be triplets. Well, no, but one of them is gone. So they died. So you're now twins. That's kind of funny. Otherwise, solid show. Wow.
Right?
Yeah, I don't recognize her at all.
Right? That is her.
Nope.
Look, someone even drew bangs in on this one.
Oh, yeah, there she is.
Oh. Isn't that crazy? They were triplets. No, we're not. Yes, we are.
Okay. That's all I'm going to say about that.
But you enjoyed it.
I did. If you liked the first season, I would recommend watching the second one. It's not a happy show.
No, it doesn't sound like it is.
Oh, Lucy Punch is also introduced in this season as a... as an annoying person. However, she is not as annoying as Parker Posey. Lucy Punch is a very annoying actress, but nowhere near Parker Posey.
Oh, Flash. We skipped over Flash earlier.
We did, but I felt that was because we were going to dive so deep. Because it was the season finale.
Well, I don't know how deep we're going to dive.
Oh, Mike.
I mean...
Mike.
Because essentially, everything that they try to do to stop DeVoe, he was just like 5-year-old. Oh, now I have magic powers. Yeah. Now I'm going to make 100 of me in my brain.
Yeah. So Cecile is going to... Marlise says, let's use Cecile's brain powers and amplify them so that she can send Barry directly into DeVoe's consciousness. Kind of like an Inception kind of thing. And he'll go in there and he'll find the good part of DeVoe that's still around.
Yeah.
And what does he find in there?
Dead DeVoe.
He finds Ralph.
Well, Dead DeVoe. Oh, yeah, Ralph.
And then he finds Dead DeVoe.
Dead DeVoe, yeah.
That's the good part of DeVoe.
Yeah, because DeVoe knew they would do that, so I killed my good self.
And so, as a result of that, we get DeVoe. First, we get DeVoe in the chair with the, you know...
The thinker.
Yeah. And then we get DeVoe as Agent Smith from The Matrix.
Basically.
And
he wants to watch the movie before he had his temper tantrum.
That's right. And then Ralph and Flash start fighting him, and they keep losing to him because he uses all of his superpowers. And so Ralph says, why don't we do this Dibney style and just not think and just act? Which makes sense. Until the point when they come up with the plan to stretch around the column and hide back there so that Barry can grab him and swing him around like a flail. And beat up all the Agent Smiths that keep coming at them. That's thinking right there. They had to formulate that plan and say, let's do this together.
Right, yeah.
You should have been able to read their minds.
Right. You should have known that was happening, Mr. Allen.
Yeah. Because first it was just one of them, and then he brought in a couple more, and then he brought in more. And then he had hundreds of them because they just had to make it back out. Because if they could just get Ralph out of the mind,
right.
then he'd take over the body again.
Did you notice that Ralph had to go through a small hole like he was being reborn, coming out of the womb?
Yep.
Through the vagina into the world.
But he takes his body back over.
Yep. Right, well, now, first, DeVoe comes in and wipes everyone out and doesn't kill anyone, but he could, but he doesn't. He just beats
Because they're the main characters.
Right. And then when he's like, I'm going to kill Cecile now, I'm going to strangle her, you know, force style, Vader force style.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, you know, he gets stopped by, it's not Wally.
No.
Dibny taking back his body.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Dibny takes himself back over.
Yep.
Yep.
And now he owns the body.
He does.
But without the extra powers.
Yeah, somehow those are gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, DeVoe, no, I'm a hologram on my, on my magic chair. And I knew you would do this, so I came up with another plan.
Yeah.
And then, you know, Marlies is like, bye, honey.
Yeah, she pulls the power cord out of the back of it.
And, of course, when she did that, another plan came to play.
Because he had booby traps all over the place because you didn't even know.
Right, you're right, because he outthinks everybody.
That's so right.
Star Lab satellite now is going to plummet to the Earth with the weight of, I don't know, enough to cause a catastrophic extinction event.
I really want the narrator from the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy movie to describe it because, you know, I feel like it would be like when the whale was coming down on the planet.
Yeah.
But yeah, basically that's what it is. The satellite's going to destroy the planet.
So Barry's going to run as fast as he can and super punch it.
Super punch!
And Marlies is like, I've done the math. He's not going to survive. And everyone else is like, yeah, we know.
Yeah. He's going to super punch it and it's going to explode and he's going to die and the whole world will be saved.
But the whole world will be saved, so he's okay with it.
And this was actually one of the cooler effects that they've had in this show in a while.
Okay.
In my opinion, just because what we got was it's coming down there. He does his super fast racing. He races right up the side of the building, comes right up there, is just about to come in contact with it. And then it freezes.
Freezes, yeah.
And everything goes back and rewinds.
Yep.
And then you watch the same thing happen again, except for now, kind of in the foreground off screen.
Yeah.
You see both his hand go up and another three girls' hand go up.
Yep.
And it explodes and Barry's singed.
Yeah, his suit's all beat up, and people are there, Flash!
Yeah.
Clapping for him, he stands up, and he's like, whoa.
Yeah. And there were a lot of people out there.
There was, yeah. You'd think they would have been running for their lives.
And you wonder now, is his identity going to become public because of this?
Well, I mean, his mask was a bit tattered, but it was still on.
Yeah.
You know, and like we just went over with Zoe Deschanel and her bangs and our glasses, you know.
Yeah. So then we get
But he knew. He saw the other person.
Right.
But he doesn't say anything to anyone else except for...
Until much later.
And he mentions it to Iris.
Yeah. He's like, I wasn't alone. Yeah. But basically, yeah, then they have the whole reunion at home and everybody's
but no,
there.
No, you missed the... You glossed over the Marlies watching, walking up and passing something. She's just going, this will help. This will bring back your friend's memories. Because the enlightenment was supposed to be unreversible, but yet somehow she has something to reverse his enlightenment.
I did put a... Hold on. Yeah, it was right after the baby was born. She just hands him an item that she just happened to make up. Yeah. Like, what was she going to do? Did she keep one of those around to save one person after the enlightenment? But she's just like, oh, by the way, here you go. You're super smart, but I'm smarter.
Yeah.
This will fix it.
Here, this will help you. This will give your friend back his memory.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks so much. And they glossed over it so bad.
They're just like, hey.
Yeah. And then later on,
the end of the episode's coming.
They hook Harry up.
Yep.
And they give him back his memory.
But he's not that smart.
Really, yeah. But Harry's okay with it. Because basically what he says is, and I don't have all the notes. Do you have it exactly?
Nope.
Okay, basically what he says is like, before, when he was smart, he had no time for being a person. He was just smart. And then now,
he says he has a balance now
between
his head and his heart.
Yes, there we go. He's a balance between his head and his heart. And he's happy and he's okay with it. Now he's going to go visit his daughter.
Yep.
I go, he just walks out of the room, and everyone's like, okay. And then he comes back, I think we should hug first.
Yeah. they did say that next season, we're getting a different Harrison Wells.
But he's so grateful.
Yes.
And he's so happy, and he's so appreciative.
Well, they say ignorance is bliss.
Exactly. So then he left, which was kind of sad.
There's a direct correlation between intelligence and depression. So
yep.
I did like when they asked if he was smart again, and he started quoting Wrath of Khan.
Yes.
And Sisko's like, yeah, and Iris goes, Star Wars. And I'm like, no!
Kind of funny, though.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Just for getting it so wrong. So he goes home to Earth 2 to be with Jesse. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And then we're back at the Team Flash celebrating DeVoe's defeat.
Yes. And the baby, Jenna Marie West.
Jenna Marie.
Wally's there. You know, Wally, he had to pop in to see his new sister.
That was nice, yeah.
Half sister.
And then Mystery Girl arrives.
Yeah.
Arrives.
And basically just
she just kind of walks right in, and they're like, and she's like, yeah, I made a big mistake. You know, like, I'm your daughter.
Yeah, I'm your daughter, Nora, from the future, and I think I just made a big mistake. And then we get the lightning bolt, and
that's the end of it.
Yeah.
So now, Nora Allen, did she create her own flashpoint by interfering with DeVoe?
It's quite possible. Maybe that's what happened, and she can't get back now. You know, she tries going back, and she sees this new future. And goes, oh.
Realistically, for me, it's not as big of a cliffhanger as, you know, like, I'm your daughter, and I made a big mistake.
Right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. If Barry was supposed to die,
yeah,
how could she be his daughter? Unless Iris is pregnant right now.
Right.
That's basically it.
Right. She would have to be pregnant right now.
Which maybe that's what we're going to find out next season.
But it wasn't a bad finale.
No.
It just wasn't like the big, like, oh, God, I can't wait for next season as far as, like, because I want to know what happens. It's kind of like, all right, cool.
It was nice that we finally got rid of what should have been a good villain when they first announced the Thinker. And they said this is going to be somebody who outthinks Barry rather than outspeeds him. It should have been that. But instead we got, you know, the petulant five-year-old.
Yes. Massively petulant.
Friggin' Cartman.
No, that's not going the way I want it to go, so I'm going to change things right now.
Yep.
So I watched a few movies.
Yep.
We watched two together.
Correct.
I watched three on my own.
What are the three on your own?
I'm going to start with Annihilation.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
I saw it in the theater.
Oh, wow. Well, at least I only spent a buck and a half.
Yeah.
Ha, fool.
Yeah.
This movie was just not...
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't terrible, but it was definitely...
Okay, it starts out kind of cool, and then it becomes an art film by the end.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, it gives you a Predator feel in the beginning.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't.
And then there's some like really violent, like the bear ripping that girl apart and ripping her face off.
Yeah.
And then having shooting her the bear and yeah, shooting up the crocodile and on alligator, whatever, and... But, yeah, it was...
And then it had one of those 2001 A Space Odyssey kind of endings where it's like, the fuck did I just watch?
Yeah, I didn't care for it. Ultimately.
Like, the ending was just so bizarre, and then the thing was, like, mimicking her, and then it was on fire, and then
yeah,
it's like...
that was weird.
But wait, was it really her, or was it the thing that came out? And is he really him, or is he a thing that came out? And, oh, look, they look at each other, and their eyes glow, and... Yeah, I was not a fan.
I watched Red Sparrow.
Okay.
Not what I thought it was going to be.
No?
Based on the trailer, I thought it was going to be a...
Black Widow Academy?
Basically, yeah.
That's what I thought.
And she's going to be some, like, badass agent that's been training her whole life type of thing.
Yep.
No?
No.
Oh. 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And basically, she's the biggest thing they want them to do at the academy is fuck people and use their bodies to fuck people. That's the reputation of the Sparrows is that they, you know, they use their bodies to get sex from people and then get what they want, essentially.
Wow.
She even called it Whore Academy at one point.
I was going to say the women's rights movement must be thrilled.
And essentially, like, I don't know. It's based on historic sex espionage and contemporary Russian use of Komprom. I don't know. Anyways, I wouldn't bother.
No.
No. I mean, unless you want to see.
You could see plenty of her on the internet.
Jennifer Lawrence's boobs.
Yeah.
And her butt crushed on a table.
Mm.
And then her saying things like, why don't you go to fuck me? Hurry up. Pity. Like,
wow.
I don't know. It wasn't that good. To me, it wasn't that good. Like, no. I just... I thought it was gonna be like a combination of say like Atomic Blonde.
Yep.
Okay. And like say the one with Robert Redford, the spy movie with Robert Redford, then
Spygate.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be like a combination of those, and it really wasn't. It's really a girl who. And there's too many plot twists.
Yeah.
There's too many like, you did this, well, I'm one-upping you here. And it's just, it's just too much. Like, the level of believability just kind of isn't there. It wasn't what I thought it was going to be. It's 2 hours and 20 minutes long. It's just.
That's way too long for something like that.
I would give it a pass. And the other film I watched, I rented all three of these from Redbox. The other film I watched, which I know you've seen, and I put it on before my wife was going to go to bed, and she ended up staying up and watching it. Game Night.
Wasn't that fun?
I'm telling you right now, the person that stole this show, this movie, was Jesse Plemons.
Yes! Thank you!
Officer Gary Kingsbury. My God.
And he had the least screen time.
Tremendous.
Holy God.
Tremendous.
Dude, his character was so creepy and so good. Like, you can't look at him the same way again. Like, I just thought it was Fat Matt Damon.
Holding his dog. He's like, hello. X, Annie. You guys having a game night tonight? No, I don't think so. He goes, huh. 3 bags of Tostitos scoops, huh? Well, they're having a 3-for-1 sale. 3-for-1. How's that profitable for Frito-Lay? Like, doesn't seem profitable for Frito-Lay. And then I love at the end, when, like, they're showing this corkboard and this letter, Dear Officer Gary Kingsbury, we did never have a promo that was 3-for-1 on Tostitos.
Because he researched it.
But anyways,
This is the type of movie that you have to watch.
It's been out a while, and, you know, you have to suspend disbelief.
Yes.
For people being stupid and ignorant about things. But Jason Crow.
Oh, my God.
This movie was hilarious. It was hilarious. Jason Bateman, of course, is funny.
Yes.
Rachel McAdams is great.
Yep.
Jesse Plemons is Officer Gary Kingsbury, stole the movie from me. His straightforwardness. Like, oh, my God. Just how he describes everything.
I love
it
too.
It was awesome.
And it's been a while because I saw it in theaters. The guy who always brought a different girl to game night, and she was always stupid.
Yes.
But he was just trying to plow her. And then he finally brings somebody who's intelligent.
Yeah.
And they had some great banter between the two of them. She's like, oh my God, no, we are not going to do this. Oh, yeah, that's one I want to see again. That was a great movie.
I don't want to give it away, but I really liked, I'm going to say the black couple.
Yes.
And
Winston from New Girl.
Yeah. And oh my gosh. And and his wife. And like they've been together since they were 14.
Yeah.
And they got married at 19.
Oh my God.
And then
what was it? Denzel?
Yeah, exactly. There's this whole bit where they were broken up for like a week. And when they're playing Never Have I Ever Slept with a Celebrity, she takes a drink. She's like, when did you have time to do that? We've been together since middle school. You know, like, well, we were broken up for that 1 week. Yeah, that was awesome.
And it was Denzel.
That was awesome. Denzel, yeah.
And as gross and over the top as it was, I loved, I'm just going to say, the bloody dog.
Oh, God. That was ridiculous and hilarious.
It was over the top, and I loved it.
They're trying to get on Gary's good side, and they go, "Yeah, well, you're a better game player than Debbie is, anyways. Thank you, not to besmirch my ex-wife."
Like they're trying to be nice, it's just like no.
I didn't know there was a post-credit scene.
Oh.
So I hadn't shut off. I just got went to the bathroom and everything after the diagram. When I came back, I was going to shut it off, and it was like, oh, wait a second. Here we go. Post-credit scene was a fun little, like,
yeah. Yeah. They could never do, like, a sequel to this.
No.
They could never do, like, a remake. At first, I thought it was going to be a remake of The Game with Michael Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
No, this took the comedy route, and it did a great job.
Yeah. But, oh, gosh.
when she's dancing around with a gun.
I do love the Michael C. Hall like cameo at the
end. Oh my god.
Shows up as the Bulgarian.
Uh-huh. I was like, of course, that's perfect.
But seriously, I'm going back. Jesse Plemons. Officer Gary Kingsbury.
I'm pretty sure when I first saw it, I said something similar. And I was like, I don't want to give this away, but that guy just steals the whole show.
Oh my god, yes. 1,000%. 1,000%.
You got to watch it. Game Night is a big hard sell.
I mean, I thought he was fantastic in, what was it, season 2 of Fargo?
Yep.
Yeah. Was, yeah.
No. Season?
Season 1?
It was the one with Kirsten Dunst.
I think that's season 2. Yeah.
Go make Tom Cruise.
Yeah, that was season 2. Dunst. Yeah, yeah, it's definitely season 2. Excuse me, but yeah, oh, I enjoyed the hell out of that. And then the other two movies we saw together.
Yes. Not at the same time, but like you might recall that last week when we did our podcast, we were racing out the door.
We had to hurry up and finish so we could watch a movie.
And then the next day, we also had pre-booked tickets to go see a movie.
Yeah, it was myself and John and our pal Rude, my son Kanan, and we went and took in Solo, a Star Wars movie.
Yep.
I think we have two different feelings about it, maybe?
We do, yes.
I don't know if it might change since then. Have you seen it again?
Nope.
Okay. Well, you never know.
I have no desire. It's
Thursday. We went Saturday.
Right. Yep. This is very true.
I liked it because it was what I expected it to be. I knew we were going to meet. We're going to find out how. We're going to get, like, I thought we were actually going to get him as a kid, but they start out, he's like 20, let's just say, or maybe a little younger. But I knew we were going to get that. I knew we were going to get how he met Chewie for the first time. I knew we were going to get how they met Lando for the first time. I knew we were going to how we got the Millennium Falcon for the first time. And, of course, because you hear about it in 6 other movies, practically, how they made the
Kessel Run.
Thank you. I was going to say Chittle, but I couldn't. They made the Kessel Run in 12 parsecs. I knew we were going to see that.
Uh-huh.
And we did see all that stuff. So I'm cool with it.
Yeah. And for me, that's most of the reason that I didn't like it. Now, I didn't dislike this movie.
Right.
It just did nothing for me because I knew all of this. I knew who Han Solo was going into this.
Right.
I've known since 1977 who Han Solo is. I've known that he's the lovable scoundrel who may seem like he's doing everything for himself, but he'll always come back for a buddy.
Yep.
He'll always pull you out of the fire. He's always willing to try to help somebody out. Mm-hmm. I knew who he was. I knew that he had done the Kessel Run. I knew that he got the Millennium Falcon from Lando in a card game. I knew that him and Chewie went way back. This movie was unnecessary, I guess, in my opinion.
I liked it, though. I know what you're saying. I get what you're saying. Yep. And I can see your point of view on it. But I'm still like, I'm glad they made the movie.
Yep.
I enjoyed watching it. I think it's great. It's one of the, I think it's a good standalone Star Wars movie. Now, I don't think it needs a sequel. And I feel like it's going to get its own sequel.
I heard that they already have 2 or 3 more movies with him.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, solo movies, or he's going to be in, like, an Obi-Wan movie? Okay.
No.
And how we got the last name Solo, we find out.
Apparently, that's the whole reason they wanted to make this movie, was because the original script that was pitched to them had something like that in there, and they were like, oh, that's great, let's work around it. Then they got rid of the guy who did the original script.
Right.
And they were like, but still, we want to do this. I don't know.
Look, here's my thought. I heard someone, I was talking to Sarah at work the other day, and she said that she had read online that people think that maybe it's just there's too much new Star Wars. It's an overkill. And I'm like, no, it's not. My personal opinion.
Yeah.
But, and this is how I feel about it. The Force Awakens was amazing. I know a lot of people have their reasons why they don't love it. I don't give a shit. I loved that
movie. I did too.
I thought it was absolutely phenomenal. Yep. I've watched it many, many times. Love that movie.
Pardon me.
Rogue One, just spectacular.
Yep.
The way they tied that in, the way they ended the movie, the whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal movie. Just spectacular. Love it, love it, love it. Last Jedi?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
I really liked that one.
I liked it a lot, but it definitely wasn't on par for me as The Force Awakens and Rogue One. You know, not everything, you can't be gold, 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 gold all the time. Obviously, we saw that with Jar Jar fucking Binks. So anyways, and so I think, like, some people are trying to say, I read online, that they're trying to blame The Last Jedi's Solo's weak box office performance on The Last Jedi. And I don't think you can do that.
I don't either.
I don't think you can do that. But I'm not disappointed with any of the 4 movies that we just got. I'm excited we got 4 more Star Wars movies.
See, and I get what you're saying. I agree completely. my thoughts with Solo, I would have rather have had a Lando movie.
Oh, I heard we're going to get a Lando movie.
I want to know more about Lando.
Yeah.
Okay? He was built up in this movie as a... I mean, like, the way she was describing him...
Yeah.
He is the coolest cat in the entire fucking galaxy.
Now, I would like to say I've met Billy Dee Williams once.
I would like to say that, too. It's not true, but I'd like to say it.
It is true. Okay. Jay and I went to Super Mega Fest down in Framingham, Massachusetts several years ago. And I didn't get my picture taken with Billy Dee because it was like $100 or something for a picture and autograph of Billy Dee Williams. However, Jay and I were sitting at a table in the little break area they had and having like a snack and a water or whatever. We're sitting there and we're sitting much like you and I are right now, which I know people can't see it, but whatever. John's at the end of the table. I'm at the side of the table. And I look up and coming from the snack area, walking straight towards us, is Billy Dee Williams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got on, I mean, he's looking just
dapper.
Phenomenal.
Yep.
And he's not even in a suit. He's just a dress pants on, dress shoes. He's got like almost like a Hawaiian shirt on, margarita shirt, whatever you want to call it. He's got his hair slicked back and his sunglasses on, and he's walking. And I go, I'm like, oh, Mr. Williams, how's it going? And whatever. And Jay practically breaks his neck trying to turn around to see him. And without even breaking stride, without stopping, without doing anything, he just kind of cocks his head towards us and goes like, he's like, how's it going, fellas? He just keeps on walking. Like, coolest, like, literally the coolest person I've ever seen in my entire life. You know?
That's why I want a Lando movie.
Yes, Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian, Donald Glover.
Yep.
Donald Glover did phenomenal. Even the voice.
Yep.
The voice, like, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like sexy chocolate.
Yes. Yes. How he talked, how he described everything was phenomenal.
If we had had a movie that was Luke Skywalker in the teenage years, I wouldn't care about it. Because you know what? I know what happens in the end. That's the other thing, too. Like, when they're riding that train,
yeah,
and Chewie's falling off the side, and Han's trying to pull him. Oh, God, he's going to get clipped by the mountain.
You know, I'm usually the one that always complains about those things. And this time I was like,
eh. I'm looking at it, and I'm like, we all know he's going to live.
Yeah.
He's going to be fine.
Right.
Han's going to be fine. I'm not even going to have scars out of this.
These other people, oh, maybe.
Yeah, yeah. Who knows? Who cares? We know that they're not in the future movies.
Right.
So it just, for me, it was kind of unnecessary. There was a lot of what you were talking about. The stuff that you wanted is the stuff I was worried about.
Ah, okay.
You know, the stuff like, oh, he got the Millennium Falcon. Let's watch the card game. Wait. No, he didn't win it in that card game. Oh, but wait. I know he won it in a card game. Oh, wait. They tacked another card game on in there later. Oh, okay. I was okay with all that.
I really was. But I think it's because I went in there going, these are the things we're definitely going to see in this movie, and I want to see them.
Oh, and don't forget, this is where we get the origin of Han shooting first.
Again.
Just a giant middle finger to George Lucas saying, we were right.
Again. I appreciated that.
Yep.
I appreciated
and
that.
And maybe it goes to that. Maybe it's what your expectations were going into the movie.
Right.
And granted, I didn't have expectations like this is going to be something all new that I knew going in. I mean, I almost didn't go. I knew going in what this was going to be. And to me, it felt like cashing in, you know?
It's weird. It's amazing how similar our point of views are on a lot of things.
Yeah.
We have mutual feelings. And then there's other things. We have definitely opposite ends of the spectrum. But, like, to me, this is hilarious because everything I wanted to see in this movie, I was geared up for and wanted to see it. And I was excited for it.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that you wanted, everything that I wanted to see in this movie, you're geared up for and didn't want to see it.
Right.
It's hilarious.
Yep. Yep. And that's good because if we just sat here agreeing all the time, then it'd be a boring show.
It'd be late. I don't know. I enjoyed it. I loved the moment in the movie.
I didn't dislike it. I didn't hate this movie. I didn't dislike it.
I really enjoyed the moment in the movie where, like, for reasons, Lando can't fly the Millennium Falcon.
Mm-hmm.
And so Han gets in the seat for the first time. And then, I can't think of her name now.
Kira.
But, okay. Then Kira hops in the passenger seat. And I was like, no, Chewie's sitting behind her.
Yeah.
And then there's the scene where she doesn't know what the hell she's doing and he does. And Chewie sits down in the seat for the first time. They scored up the Star Wars music. Mm-hmm. He gave you that good, happy-go-lucky, feel-good moment. And you see him together, you know, in the Millennium Falcon. And then, punch it.
Yep.
I mean, I marked out. I loved it. It was just, I wanted to see all that stuff. Like, I went in there going, this is what I want to see. I want to see all this stuff. This is, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing all this stuff. And I got it. Like, the time you and I went and saw Die Hard 20, whatever the hell part it was, and we were just like, I want to see unrealistic shootouts. I want to see unrealistic action, jumping from buildings. I want to see something completely stupid that's going to happen, like him firing a rocket launcher out of a moving helicopter out of tankers. It's just something, and we got all that stuff.
Yes.
And we loved it because we wanted to see all that
right.
over-the-top ridiculousness.
Yep. And absolutely, you know, it is very similar to that, except in this case, I was, maybe it's because I've come to love Star Wars so much. You know, it's been with me since childhood, and I wanted more. Like, Rogue One was something that never should have happened. Like, there is no reason. It was just supposed to be an offshoot story. We didn't know going into it that this was literally going to be the story that led up to the minutes before A New Hope.
Right.
It should not have been that way. And, in fact, it was rewritten, as you recall.
Yes, it was.
It should not have been as good as it was.
That movie was so good, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
Really. I mean, it's truly the definition of unbelievable. It was not believable how
yes.
good it was.
Yes. Something like this, if I was going to get a Solo movie, if I was going to get a young Luke movie or anything like that, I would want something more than just all the stuff that I was expecting, you know?
Fair enough.
I mean, right in the first 5 seconds of the movie, he takes those golden dice and hangs them from the rearview mirror,
okay.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh. Like, they're really hitting us over the head with it. You know, they're like, look, it's Han. Remember these from The Last Jedi or from A New Hope? And, you know.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, I just, it's hard for me to describe, but I guess I wanted more. And yet, different. Yeah. Anyhow.
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
Saw it.
Yeah.
My son had a great time.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
He loved it.
I'm glad that there are people that are out there enjoying it. Not nearly as many as most of the other Star Wars movies. It's
fair
not doing that great in the box office, which
is
too bad.
I'm loving having this experience to go to the movies to see the Star Wars movies. I never saw them in the original three. I never saw them in the theater because, A, I was born in 1979.
I know, I'm old.
Only a couple years older than me. I was born in 1979, but even when they were re-released, I wasn't afforded the opportunity to go. Mm-hmm. I did see episodes 1, 2, and 3. We went together.
Mm-hmm.
Thought
they were going to be so much better.
yeah. Back before they had, I remember this was back before you had reserved seating. So you should show up 5 minutes before the movie starts at the Regal here in Augusta. We have reserved recliner seating, and then you'd have to show up like 3 hours, 4 hours to stand in line, so you didn't sit in the front row.
So that you could start the line.
We'd show up to start the line.
We'd be like, is there a line yet? And they'd be like, no, that's 4 hours from now.
Yeah, well, we're going to start it then.
Yep. We'll be right over here. If anybody else comes in, tell them to get behind us. So we could rush right in there and get the middle seats.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying being able to take my son to see these four movies now in the theater.
Yeah.
And we went to the first three, literally first showing opening day.
Yeah.
First non-3D showing opening day.
Right.
And this time, because he had a baseball game, we couldn't, so we went as soon as we could. But yeah, I'm enjoying that, to share that with him, because he loves him some Star Wars.
Absolutely.
And it's funny to me that, like, the toys that made us, for instance, just going back a little bit, you know, these are all toys that we grew up on, or other people in our generation grew up on, RB Hello Kitty, you know, and they're still popular today.
Mm.
You know, maybe some of them not as much, but still, they're still popular today, especially like Star Wars.
Speaking of which,
yeah,
I got to say this because I was thinking of it earlier and it slipped my mind. I was just reading the other day, there's a Kickstarter going on right now and it's actually coming to pass, but they're releasing a new Atari system.
Really?
Yeah. And it's going to look like the old consoles. There's the black version, then there's the wood grain one. The wood grain one costs more money. Well, guess who answered the call and said, oh yeah, well, guess what we're going to do?
Sony?
No. Motherfucking Intellivision.
Really?
Intellivision announced that it will be releasing a new console as well.
No.
I shit you not. They even showed, this was great, they showed the old magazine ad, the two-page ad that said, two pictures are worth 1,000 words, and it was like showing the Atari baseball game versus the Intellivision baseball game, going right to poker. Oh my god, dude, it took me back so hard. I'm laughing. I mean, they've released compilations, you know, in television classics on the disc. but never a console.
That's crazy.
And I wonder if it's going to have the little disc and the button with the overlay pads and everything.
Pretty sure it has to.
I love that stuff. So, yeah.
That is crazy.
Speaking of the toys that made us, you know.
I'm surprised they haven't done some sort of, like video game type documentary on all these things.
Yeah.
I was going to talk about it after we talked about the next movie, but speaking of video game type documentary or whatever, have you ever heard of Nintendo Quest? Rude actually told me about this documentary. I guess he watched it on Amazon Prime, or it's in his queue on Amazon Prime. Came out in 2015. It's called Nintendo Quest, the most unofficial and unauthorized Nintendo documentary ever.
Oh.
And basically what it is this guy named Rob McCollum or whatever, he's the executive producer. He challenges his best friend, Jay Bartlett, to acquire every one of the 678 original NES games.
Including the super rare one that was given out as the...
Yes. Oh. All 678 NES games officially released in North America in just 30 days, and he's not allowed to use the internet.
What?
Yep.
Well, that's stupid.
He can't buy anything from internet retailers.
Well,
he used the internet, but he can't buy anything from internet retailers.
Okay.
Okay? So
he can find somebody who's selling it and then travel to their house.
Yes.
I was going to say, if he can't use the internet, that's
this whole film special. Follows Jay and Rob and the film crew as they travel south through the states, visiting various secondhand stores and basements and all kinds of other places trying to find these games. I haven't watched it yet. I really want to watch it.
Dude, some of those cartridges, like, they almost don't exist. There's, like, two copies of them out there.
Right. And what's really kind of cool is, like, they talk to a lot of the game makers.
Yeah.
The original game makers. Also, there's a couple people in here, you may not recognize their names, but, like, Walter Day is in it.
Okay.
In the documentary. Billy Mitchell's in the documentary.
I know him.
Oh, King of the Kong. Billy Mitchell. Oh, yeah. How the Mighty Have Fallen.
Oh, yes.
But, you know, from, like, King of the Kong and everything, and then Man vs. Snake, and...
Yep.
There's some great classic video game documentaries. I think A King of the Kong, A Fistful of Quarters really is what started it, because we got like Man vs. Snake. We got the Atari one where they're digging up in the landfill looking for the E.T. games.
Ones, yeah.
Did you see that documentary?
Yes.
I love how the guy had them all in his fucking shed.
Urban legends be damned.
Exactly. But no, it's just, it's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome. So yeah. I got to say, I want to watch this.
I'm just trying to think. Wow.
Anywho.
Yeah, anywho.
The other movie we went watch together.
Yes.
Your third screening. Everyone should know this by now. Deadpool 2.
I've gotten crap at work about seeing it three times. Like, it's
they obviously
great.
Don't know you. I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
So, before we even dig into it, the first time I saw the movie... One of the reasons that I didn't give it a super hard sell was because it didn't feel as Deadpool as the first Deadpool, the first time I watched it. Because, as he says in the beginning, this is a family movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he seemed to have a different take on things. You know, wanting to do the right thing and have a family and stuff like that. It just didn't feel as much like Deadpool, like I had come to know him.
Yep.
After seeing it a couple more times... I'm over that.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
No, it's phenomenal.
It's awesome.
I don't want to spoil it, though. I know we just spoiled the shit out of Solo. I don't know if it was inadvertently or not, but I don't want to spoil it. But, man, I laughed so hard at so many different things, so many different parts of the movie. Not going to lie, the kid really pissed me off a lot.
Because I couldn't
handle his immature ignorance.
Immature ignorance, and sometimes his acting was really stunted.
Yes.
He had a hard time bringing the acting chops. And I feel it's because they said, we specifically want to have some kid who can do a New Zealand accent and who's very overweight.
Yeah.
And, you know, because that was part of the joke through the whole thing.
Correct. I just, it was great.
It's Deadpool.
It was great.
And Ryan Reynolds is doing great with the...
Oh, my God. Ryan Reynolds was absolutely spectacular. He was tremendous. He was marvelous.
Adjective
of greatness.
There are some great cameos in there, including one that is a room full of cameos for a brief second.
Better look real quick.
It's a riot. It's a lot of fun. It's one of those movies you have to see multiple times because sometimes you're going to be laughing through the jokes and you're going to miss the next joke.
Josh Brolin as Cable was tremendous. Was fucking awesome. That's awesome. Yeah.
He grunted a lot.
Yeah.
But he's only 5'11". He's really short, not like in the comics. There's so much, like, X-Force. X-Force is in there. X-Force is phenomenal. They're coming out with an X-Force movie next.
So Domino will be in it?
Yep.
Domino was great.
Yeah, she really was. That character was awesome.
Yeah, yep. I was very impressed with that.
Although I got to say, the way that they did the thing, I know that in the comics, Domino had like the white paint with the black splotch. And in this case, it's a black woman, so they gave her the white splotch.
Yes.
I kept looking at her and thinking of Barf from Spaceballs.
Jeez, of Crow, yes.
Because the way that the white was over her like eye, I'm like, she looks like Barf.
That's unfortunately true.
They do a lot of throwbacks to the first movie.
There's a lot of, you know, like, I can't think of it now. What the word I want to use? Damn it! Little winks and nods at different things, yep. Like Goonies, the DC universe, Thanos.
Yes,
you know everything. There's a lot of winks and nods to everything and a lot of different things. And
like I said, there's some recycled material, quote unquote. Like the I'll just say the legs.
Oh God, that was hilarious.
The stabbing of the thing through the brain.
Yeah, knife. You can say knife.
No, the
fence post.
Yeah, fence post. Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Or we've got the cure for blindness, right next to the cocaine.
Okay, that was great.
not just any cocaine, Wade's cocaine.
Wade's cocaine. His cab driver,
Dopinder.
Dopinder was excellent in this.
Yes.
The
soundtrack was phenomenal.
Yes.
The great thing about these movies is, like, because of this movie, I have a newfound love for 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton. Okay, or We Belong to the Night.
I've had some really dumbass dubstep in my brain.
There's no such thing.
Because there's a couple wrestlers from Progress out of the UK. I've been watching a lot of Progress lately that come out to, like, one comes out to, TK Cooper comes out to Keeping It 100.
Okay.
And then Angelico comes out to Bangarang.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're both like, they've been stuck in my head a lot.
I think Bangarang was actually the one that they featured in Deadpool 2.
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's why it was stuck in my brain the most because yep. I can, yeah. Holy frig. But no, there was a lot of awesomeness in this
there
movie.
There really is. It lives up to the original.
I like the scene, the little nod to Ryan Reynolds playing the first Deadpool with the cutting the sword, the bullet in half.
Yes.
With the sword, like, it's like the exact same mm-hmm. everything. Like, I've seen someone online put it side by each. It's hilarious.
And then,
yeah.
It goes down.
Yeah. There's a couple PSs.
And they are some of the best PSs ever.
But there's nothing at the end of the movie, right?
Right.
Yeah. I had to go pee for, like, the last 40 minutes of that movie.
I kept telling him different spots. I'm like, this is my third viewing. I could tell you could go right now. And he's like, nope, I'm not going.
Not risking it. Not risking it. And I'm glad, too, because when I finally went out there to go to the bathroom, I peed for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It was one of those. It's weird how your body works that way, you know? Like, I'm just sitting here. I got to go pee. So I go pee. And, you know, it's your standard, you know, 16 ounce of piss or whatever. But no, when you hold it for 40 minutes, you go, it's like, I'm going to pee a gallon of fluid.
Yeah.
Or as Wesley says.
You also did take
make
in
water.
Yeah. You also did take in 32 ounces of Coke Zero.
Is a small 32 ounces
yes,
there?
Yes, it is.
God, that's absurd.
Isn't it?
Goodness.
But yes, go see Deadpool 2. At some point, we'll probably go into more of the jokes when everybody's gotten a chance to watch
did
it.
Did you see Rude was wearing jeans and a t-shirt and yet still managed to smuggle in 2 20-ounce bottles of drink?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't know where he had that.
No.
Because I was looking.
Prison wallet?
I was probably not.
Prison wallet. Love
probably
it.
Not.
Put that back in your prison wallet.
Good stuff.
I watched one trailer.
Okay, what'd you watch?
Peppermint.
Lucy in it as well?
No, I had no idea. It just popped up like IMDb's like, oh, featured trailer, Peppermint. Jennifer Garner plays a woman whose family is gunned down by gangbangers.
Okay.
And this trailer was like 2.5 minutes long. And for the first minute and a half, I'm sitting there watching this movie about a woman who's now, she was in the hospital, and they were like, sorry, your husband and your daughter are dead. And she gets mad, And they tell her, you know, hey, these gangbangers are part of this cartel, and you're not going to do anything. Nobody's going to help you, blah, blah, blah. So she goes to court, and she testifies against them. She picks them out in a lineup and goes to court and testifies them. And even the judge is like, nope, sorry, there's not enough. They're getting off. And I think that the lawyer that represents them is Drew from season 8 of Scrubs, you know, 3XK from yep. Castle. Really good slimeball. So she basically, you know, she gets carried out of the courtroom because the place is corrupt. Now, it's a minute and a half of this, and I'm like, oh, okay, this is the plot of the movie. No. No, that's apparently the setup. That's the first act.
Yep.
Because then this woman disappears off the grid for 5 years and comes back as Liam Neeson's.
Oh.
Yes, and it's from the director of Taken. So she comes back as...
Morrell.
Yeah, sure she comes is. Back as Liam Neeson's and proceeds to kill these people, like hanging bodies from a Ferris wheel that her and her family were near when they got gunned down. And she is going to take down every corrupt cop, judge, drug dealer, etc. in the whole damn city. And then, you know, the city is like, oh, she's great. She's awesome. It's a low crime area because she's around. And so suddenly the movie became more interesting to me.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah, I'll watch that as well. I probably won't go to the theaters to see it.
No, but I definitely want to watch that.
Yeah.
I almost thought about, I really need to take a nap before I go to work.
Yep.
And we're recording later, so I'm definitely not going to. But I debated going tonight to the 10:35 showing of, I think it was called Changed.
Oh, Upgrade?
Upgrade.
Yeah. I kind of want to see that, too.
I do want to see it. I almost went tonight, but I was like, I can't.
IGN gave it like an 8.1 out of 10.
Movie looks awesome.
It does look
Lee awesome. Winnell wrote it.
Yeah.
You know. He kicked ass on the first Saw.
Yeah.
That's kind of how
I feel about
this. So.
First Saw was good.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome, yeah.
As was the week afterwards when I just get random texts from you, that fucking ending!
Dude, I know, that kind of blew me away for a long time.
It really did.
Yeah. And then it became a game of how long I could keep it running.
Right.
That's what we do. Alright, we're going to talk about Westworld now, so see ya.
Yes.
Alright, this has been my favorite episode this season.
It has been mine as well.
Yeah.
However, it made me realize something.
What?
This has not been a great season.
No, it has not.
And I say that with all love for the show.
Yeah.
But when I look back at the first season, there was so much mystery.
Yeah.
There was so much intrigue. And no, it has nothing to do with the fact that there was so much nudity. What it has to do with is you didn't know who was a host and who was real.
Right.
You didn't know what was really going on behind the scenes. You didn't understand their programming, like when he was right. when he couldn't see the door.
Yeah.
And you were like, oh, they can't see things if we don't want them. I mean, there was so much built into it. There was so much that you didn't know was going on.
Yeah.
And this season has kind of been lame when I really think about it. After seeing this episode, I was like, boy, what's really come about from this season? Nothing. Yeah, nothing. It's people walking to different places.
But in this episode, we get Dolores' gang, and we get Maeve's gang.
Yep.
Or party, whatever you want to call it.
And I constantly found myself wanting to get back to Maeve's gang.
I want to summarize real quick what happens with Dolores' gang, because it's all that matters. Basically, with Dolores' gang, is that she, I'm just going to read this direct from here, she questions what to do with Teddy, because she concludes that he is a decent person, but it's making him a liability to their cause.
Yeah.
So she has him forcibly reprogrammed.
Which, I don't know why she needed to have guys grab him and hold him while the guy did it.
Yeah, I know. That didn't make sense either. Just build drama, I guess.
Yeah.
But if you remember at the very beginning of the episode, we see Teddy's dead body on a pile of bodies.
Yes.
Because then we flash back to where we are now. So I thought she was going to kill him, but right. She just reprogrammed him.
And let's not forget that this whole thing is like, we're still not sure what order we're seeing things in.
Because
this episode started with them like covering up bodies in that command room. And the guy's talking to the woman who's out there overlooking the lake where yes. all the dead bodies were.
Right.
And she's like, we're draining the lake now. And he's like, yeah. And she says they're going to keep looking for Abernathy and, you know, bring him right to me when you find him. And so is that at the end or is that net?
We don't know. Maeve and her party are captured and escorted into the Shogun-themed park.
Shogun World.
Yeah, so this was awesome. I think my favorite part of it was the fact that you have, like, I can't think of his name now, but he's the programmer, he's the story writer, and mm-hmm. he's telling Maeve, he's like, no, you don't understand. Shogun World is for people like they like Westworld, but they want something more extreme, more dangerous.
Yeah, they think it's too tame.
So we created Shogun World. And then they have the whole
scene. It's based on the Edo period.
Yes. They have this whole scene where they're taking to this town, and then the bad guys roll in, and then they're going to rob the place, or whatever they're going to do. And it's basically like Maeve's boyfriend, his gang, the Snake Woman, and everything, because she's there with them, which is awesome. I really like her. Yes. It's everything they did when they came into this town, including painted black. But in Westworld, painted black was a Western style cut of it. And then Shogun World, it was painted black, but it was a Japanese style Shogun. Oh my god! When as soon as I heard that, I went, oh my god! And then Maeve's like, this all seems very familiar. And then even the Snake is like, they're us.
You get the one woman with the
she's got a dragon,
and he's like, look, I cribbed a little bit, okay? You try writing 300 stories in a weekend.
Yeah, so that was awesome. Yes. And then I like later on when you have Dragon Lady and Snake Girl talking to each other or whatever, staring each other's eyes longingly. Mm. And then you have how, what's his name? The Spaniard, Maeve's boyfriend there.
I can't remember his name.
Anyways, him and the Shogun, the Ronin, they're making eyes at each other. And then the writer there, the creator, whatever you want to call him, he's just like, look, basically they're meeting themselves, and you really shouldn't meet yourself or a different version of yourself. And this is why they're not getting along with each other, or just being weird as he's looking at the girls as they're just staring longingly at each other and everything. So, I mean, it was just really good.
Yes.
It was just really, really, really good, and I really, really liked this episode.
Because most of what's happening in Shogun World is still going by the programming. It's still acting like a park.
Yeah.
Although,
well, they thought that they must have been screwed up because these samurais never come into town.
Right.
This isn't happening correctly.
Right. They're going off script.
Going off script. And what we're seeing is that the leader, he's leaking that brain fluid out of his ear. So something happened and he's broken. But clearly no one's around to fix him.
Right.
So
because all the guards and everything are dead.
Exactly. So
they find their bodies strung up everywhere.
So no one's around to fix him. So he is just going off script.
So basically these guys, these hosts, are acting the way that they're supposed to in attacking guests and such.
Right.
But they don't realize that they're not supposed to win. Mm-hmm. And they're winning, and so they're just doing it. And the Shogun keeps giving them orders to do this and do this. And the cherry tree tattoo that he put on her back.
Yeah.
That looked brutal.
It did. But Maeve meets Akane, who is her version.
Yep.
In Shogun World. And
not that they look a thing alike.
It's just their program similar.
She's the madam.
Right. And she's a geisha. Right.
Yes.
And so her student, daughter-like person is Sakura.
Sakura.
And that is who gets the tattoo. So this powerful warlord samurai wants Sakura as a gift to dance for him and basically to do what he wants. He wants to buy her. But Kane won't sell her. And so to make him send her point home, she stabs the emissary in the eye and kills him.
Yeah. Here's my price.
Yeah, and kills him.
And she's not supposed to do that either.
Right, exactly. And that's
the writer says that. He's like, she's about to devolve back into what she does. She's going to give over the girl. And
Yeah. I stab. And then that's when the samurai's coming. Then they send ninjas after him.
Yes.
And Maeve, who's being choked by one of the ninjas, manages to make them kill themselves by not even voicing the command, just kind of like telepathy.
Well, at first she does voicing the commands.
But nothing works.
Right. Well, no, she gets a couple of guys to turn on each other, but then other people, because it was directed right at them.
Right.
And then a couple of the other guys start fighting with her, and then when they're choking her and she can't talk, you're right. You know, it's like, oh, what am I going to do? And then she becomes Neo from The Matrix.
Yeah. And everyone gets freaked out about her.
She's a witch.
Yeah.
They say.
I believe it. Yeah. Even the programmer's like, how did you do that? She's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I've learned a new voice. And then she says it later when she goes, I've learned a new voice, and it's time to talk. And she makes all the samurai turn on each other.
I like it when, speaking of voices and talking, I like it when she starts speaking Japanese, and they're like, what, she can speak Japanese? You all can. You're all programmed with this deep down somewhere. You just have to figure it out and bring it up.
That was really cool. That was cool.
And then, of course, we've got the two lab techs. He looks at him, and he's like, dude, can you say something to him? And he's like, I'm from Hong Kong.
Yeah, not the same. So they Maeve and company go to see the samurai to get a Sakura back.
Yes.
And of course he's like, no, the Shogun, sorry. And Shogun is a samurai.
No, the samurai worked for the Shogun.
Okay, fair enough then. And he's basically like, I know you're a witch. My people told me what you did. So
so he took some precautions.
He did take some precautions. And he wants Sakura and Akane to dance for him. Mm-hmm. And if she does, and, you know, kowtows or whatever, she'll get Sakura back.
Yep.
And so then the Shogun runs Sakura through with his katana and kills her.
Yep.
I mean, not even a little, just dead.
Yep.
And say, ah, she's yours now. Ha, 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 ha. Dance for me.
How is that going to end well for him?
Yeah, it's not. He's egotistical. And then Akane dances and then kills the shit out of him.
Okay. First off, I just want to say, when I said that, you know, he took precautions, he had all of his men's ears either cut off or, like, melted in so that they couldn't hear her.
Right.
Because
hear Maeve, yes. Yeah,
he was told that the witch would change them with her words. Secondly, dude, she killed the fuck out of him.
Yeah.
Like, she stabbed him in the neck, in the back of the neck, and then sat there sawing and cut around his head until it, like, flopped over.
Yeah. It wasn't even in the neck, either. It was in, like, the face, the mouth area.
Yeah. She cut his head half off.
Yeah, she really did.
He looked like the Canadians from South Park. Like, the flapping head.
Yes.
Holy God. I mean, she was... And it was, like I said, it wasn't like, you know, just a quick slow.
No, it was
sawing.
It was like, it was very graphic.
Like killing a, you know.
It was cool.
Filleting a fish.
Yes. It was cool, though.
It was.
It was cool.
And then his body gets up and, like, staggers a couple steps. And then his
head flopping everywhere.
And I'm like, that can't. Oh, wait, he's a host. That's right.
And, so Maeve wordlessly forces all the samurai to turn on another.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, they just basically kind of buckle in to regroup because, you know, Shogun's army is going to attack the camp.
Yeah.
So it was a great episode.
Now, Akame, at one point, Maeve was like, I'm going to teach you freedom. I'm going to. And she started to, like, you know, telepathically push that on her so that she could know what the whole world was. And Akame's like, she stopped her. She was like, no, I don't want to know. I just want to. That's too much for me right now. That's too much. But I think by the end, she was ready for it.
Yes.
She was like, teach me, Yoda. Yeah. And again, great episode, but it really made me think, and I was thinking of on my way over here, too, this hasn't been a great season.
It really hasn't, yeah.
There's no mystery. The only mystery is what time periods are happening when. And even then, it's so minor that I don't care.
Well, there is a mystery, because the timeline's out of order. We don't know which order we're seeing this in. We don't know XYZ, but it's just not like it was the first season where the mystery was much grander.
Who's Wyatt? You know, what's going on? Oh, now she literally walks around saying, I'm Wyatt.
Which, the other thing I think maybe that's bugging you, because it's bugging me a little bit, is we spent the whole first season of them trying to find out who Wyatt was and figure all this out, and then it's the secondary story of the season. It's not even the best story they're telling us.
Right. You know, the first season we had Young Man William, Old Man William.
Yeah.
And
that was awesome with the reveal, by the way.
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
Because they were two separate people.
He puts the black hat on and puts his head down. And he puts his head back up and you see Old Man William.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
You know, and seeing the different versions of Dolores. You know, is she learning? Is she? Yeah. There was so much going on in the first season that made me love it. And I just haven't. There hasn't been a moment like that in the second season that's made me like, yeah. Oh, we got new parks. Okay,
right.
That's nice, but
right,
we need more.
Right. No, I agree.
That's all I got.
Cool. All right, well, thanks for listening.
Yes.
On the social media platforms, you can find us on Twitter, at SuperstarML.
I'm at The Quantum Geek.
The show has a Twitter. I'm shutting it down.
I saw that.
Yeah. Show's Facebook, I'm shutting down. It's just all our friends is who likes that follows the Twitter and likes us on Facebook, and it seems redundant.
Yeah.
Anyways, I get more hits off my Twitter when I post it on my personal feed than I do on the show's feed.
Nice.
So again, I'm at Superstar Mile. He's the Quantum Geek G33K.
That's me.
That's you. And thanks.
Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. I can't believe you haven't hit the button yet.
Well, because I'm trying, and I got all these fucking notifications on my phone, so I can't even see it. See it,
right?
There we go. Stop.